the report card that your kids are getting across the board in this country, declining. Johnny can't read and write the way he should. Neither can Susie. It's a fact of life, which is weird to me because the unions, the teachers' unions, have demanded truckloads of cash for decades and gotten it. More and more money, always more money. And they've gotten it, by and large, across this country, districts large and small. And yet, we continue to underperform. Why is that? Dr. Sean McAlmont, the president of Career Readiness Education at K-12, joining me on the Nation's Report Card, says alarm bells are going on. Doctor, welcome to the conversation.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Good to have you here. I mean, it seems maybe our priorities are wrong, because I look at some of these schools that are being built that look like high-end luxury resorts, and yet our kids can't read and write. Maybe we should spend more time buying pencils than buying architects, you know, dream gigs of designing schools that look like, you know, a Turks and Caicos resort. Am I wrong?
Well, sometimes it does seem like our spending priorities are going in the wrong direction. You know, it's funny, on this report card, you know, Betsy DeVos says, look, this is a wake-up call for the country. These proficiency scores are very, very low. And actually, I just heard on your earlier news report that you've got a large number of substitute teachers teaching courses in the state of Michigan. I think we really do have to take a deep look at how teachers are being prepared and how students are being taught.
Well, you know, there's a lot of things that we can do in the classroom that I think, one idea that I put forth here that's tried in some places, I think people that have come to the end of a career, maybe it's in being an accountant or being a carpenter, whatever it may be, the people that have spent a career that can come back to our local schools and contribute at some level. I think that would be really helpful in a mentor program. That's a conversation for a different day. Right now, the basics, reading, writing, arithmetic, our kids continue to lag behind kids from all over the world. And yet we've thrown tons of money at it, Doctor, piles of it, and it hasn't solved anything. The unions have not gotten it done for us. Why not?
Well, you know, it's interesting. Your idea, I think, is right on the mark. And that's what we found at K-12. You know, I think students going through the core curricula are learning at the pace they are. But when you introduce, you know, more exciting teaching methods, you put them in groups like they might work in a modern workplace, and you bring industry in as mentors along the way, it engages them in ways they haven't been engaged before. And we're finding that they're learning a little differently and a little better, and it's more relevant. And so I think that if we continue to use methods that were introduced, you know, 150 years ago, with students sitting in rows and a teacher lecturing at them, I think these numbers are going to keep declining.
Yeah, you know that. I think that's true. I never hard to believe, everybody, but being lectured was not one of my strong suits when I was growing up. I was not proficient in being, and my mother was a school teacher, a fifth grade teacher. So was my grandmother. So I've been around teachers my whole life, and I think you're right. And one of the things my mother said, and she retired way back in about 1993, she said at the time in the late 80s and early 90s, we have a big problem developing because teachers are being told to teach to a test. Not to teach the kids what they should learn and how they should learn and how to learn, but these standardized testing models, she thought, were a problem coming, and I think she was right because they teach to the test and the kids can get the money. The schools get the money because the kids do well on the test, but after that, it kind of falls apart, right or wrong?
Yeah, I think you're right. It's a big issue. I think we've got to excite kids about learning and what can come after, you know, this learning. And, you know, it's like, you know, Jamie Dimon, CEO of J.P. Morgan Chase said, you know, 70% of the jobs that Chase will add over the next few years don't require a bachelor's degree. And that's an interesting dynamic that's happening in this fast-moving economy that's driven by technology. That if you keep pushing kids toward that test and toward standardized tests and toward a traditional education, look, there are some that are going to go that way. There's no question.
Well, and let me jump in there, Doctor,
because the larger number aren't going that way.
Yeah, and let me jump in there because it's not just Jamie Dimon, and I'm really glad you brought that up. Dr. Sean McAlmont here, the president of Career Readiness and Education at K-12, Just reading an article yesterday I was going to bring up today on the program, Mike Rowe from Dirty Jobs, everybody knows who Mike Rowe is, said the lack of classes in shop class and so forth is why we have $1.6 trillion in student debt, because we have unintendedly maligned an entire section of our workforce, carpenters, plumbers, electricians, people that do concrete, people that do finished carpentry, people that do all of these things. And there are millions of jobs sitting open right now that pay really well that you don't have to go to college for. You don't have to walk out with $50,000 or $80,000 of debt when you're 25. In fact, you might have an investment portfolio worth $50,000 or $80,000. You'd be $160,000 ahead of where you would be if you went to college. And I had somebody on the program yesterday. They call it going to some of these internship programs the other four-year degree. And I couldn't agree more. Some of these kids, come on, they want to work with their hands, and they're good at it. And at midnight, if my toilet doesn't work, I can't have that, so I call a plumber. What am I willing to pay at midnight? Just about anything, right?
Exactly. And, you know, look, the bad part about sending these kids who might want to work with their hands, who show indication that they'd like to go into a different field, if you keep sending them the traditional way, they will incur debt. They'll try to find themselves. They might drop out of school, and that debt crisis continues to grow. And then, by the way, they've got to go back and change their career later on anyway.
Right, because they can't find a job.
Yeah.
Right, they can't find a job. And here's the other thing about the whole notion of the taxpayer should pay for free college. Okay, there's a conversation. We can have that conversation about community college and so forth. But here's where it loses me. Some kids can afford to go to this school or that school. They can't afford to go to their dream school because it's just a bit out of reach. And so they make a decision to go to a school that is more practical. If we're footing the bill, they'll go to the dream school. They'll get a degree in gender studies or whatever it is that they can never get a job in that career and have $100,000 in debt and send me the bill. That doesn't work for me very well. You know, we need to have people that have practical application and can join the workforce.
Absolutely. And the one thing that we at K-12 believe is that students need options. And so if you are a student that would like to be a lawyer or a doctor or traditional careers that need a bachelor's and a master's or a professional degree, encourage them and more power to them.
Absolutely.
But we're finding that is becoming the minority group. The majority are students who might want to go into IT careers that don't require a four-year degree, or the skilled trades, as you said, or nursing. And we have to encourage them as well.
Yeah, absolutely true, and I agree with that. You know, that's why, you know, in Europe, as I traveled many, many years, you go to Europe, you go to Australia, they would laugh. Why do you send all these kids to university? Why would you send a university for a communications degree? It makes no sense, because doctors, lawyers, architects, engineers, sure, they go to university. Others don't need to. Doctor, great conversation. Love to have you back, because it's an important consideration that there are so many jobs out there today that can be filled by gifted people that just shouldn't be going to four-year universities. Dr. Sean McAlmont, thank you so much.
Thanks, Steve.
Great conversation, and just nailing it there. Absolutely. Coming up after the break, I'm going to play for you the brand-new commercial from Jeff Sessions, the new candidate to be a U.S. Senator from the state of Alabama. No joke. It's the Steve Gruber Show on a Friday.
Protecting Michigan's waters is critically important, and so is providing the energy that fuels Michigan's quality of life. A tunnel for Line 5 is the right solution. This underground concrete tunnel housing Line 5, deep under the Straits of Mackinac, means multiple layers of protection and virtually no chance of a leak into the Great Lakes. It also eliminates the possibility of an anchor strike, and it means no interruption to the energy that Michigan needs. Learn more at Enbridge.com/Line 5 Tunnel.
You know, people still walk up to me and say, "Man, have you lost weight?" I'm Steve Gruber, and I did lose weight, a lot of it. I did it with My Pure Health Solutions, formerly Nutrimost. I'm still surprised, because it's been almost 2 years since I made the decision to drop the pounds. And with My Pure Health Solutions, I did it with a custom plan built just for me. And I'm so happy I did. I feel better. People tell me I look better. I lost 40 pounds. I still feel great. Find out more at GruberHealth.com. GruberHealth.com. That's GruberHealth.com. Believe me, if I could do it, so can you.
The average time a resume spends on an HR manager's desk is 7 seconds. And most of them are tossed aside. Now imagine if one of those resumes belonged to Yasmin, who was
living in a shelter, juggling three jobs. I had to be resilient. That's something that you can't teach.
Or if that resume was from someone who
worked 12-hour shifts at the recycling company with my dad, who's 72. That taught me a work ethic that I carry with me every day.
We rely so much on a resume, yet it could never tell the full story of someone.
Growing up where I did, a lot of things could have gotten in the way of my goals. But I learned to push through, and that's what I bring to work every day.
So maybe it's time we look beyond the resume and look to grads of life. Discover new ways to develop great talent that are so much more than what's on paper at gradsoflife.org. A public service announcement brought to you by Grads of Life and the Ad Council.